the divine reality of uncommon wisdom. And tonight we're going to dive right in. Let's share a word of prayer before we do that. Father, thank you so much. In the name of Jesus, we have come before you again. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you prepared for us for this service. I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters and all of their loved ones, everyone that is joining us tonight, and those that will be listening to these teachings afterwards. I pray your blessings upon their lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you grant us illumination tonight. Precious Holy Spirit, grant us understanding. Think through my mind. Speak through my vocal cords. Grant me grace, Lord, and help me utter the counsel of Almighty God. We thank you. We give you all the glory, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you again one more time for joining us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty presence amongst us. Thank you for being here. We really appreciate you. We never take it for granted that the Lord has given us this opportunity together to be able to always come and share in his word. Let's go back to our theme scripture in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible says here, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls." But the people that Jeremiah was ministering to, the prophet was ministering to, they said, "We will not walk therein." But that is not us. Every week when we read this scripture, we say, "Lord, that's us." We're going to say, "Lord, yes, we will do what you have said. We will hearken to your instruction. We will stand in the ways and we would ask for the ancient paths. We will ask, where is the good way? And when we find it, we will walk in it and we know we will find rest for our souls." Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Remember something that I've repeated just about every service now, where the Lord said to me, "There is your way, there is the world's way, and then there is the good way. And the good way is the way of godly wisdom. When you walk in that good way, you will arrive at the preparations of God for you. When you walk in that good way, you will enter into the glories and the blessings that the Lord has ordained for you in the good life." Remember, several weeks ago, we read about the good life in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where the Bible says that God has created us, predestined us for the good life, that we will walk in paths that he prearranged before time so that we can live the good life. Oh, hallelujah. Well, one of the ways in which the Lord has ordained that we are able to live the good life is by walking in the way of godly wisdom. Is by walking in the way of godly wisdom. And when we walk in the way of godly wisdom, the Bible says we will find rest for our souls. When there is rest, oh, there's a whole lot that the Lord can do in our lives. For sure, the Lord can build. The Lord can build. The Bible says about Kings Asa and Solomon and all the people that lived in their times that the Lord surrounded them with rest on every side. And because they had the rest of God, they built and they prospered. They built and they prospered. Well, we have already established this, that the Lord wants to build your life and my life. The Lord wants to build your destiny. He wants to build your household. He wants to build your future. Like the Bible says about those Hebrew midwives who refused to listen to what Pharaoh directed them to do, but they hearkened to the word of God. You know, wisdom is hearkening to the word of God. Wisdom is not just knowing the word of God. Wisdom is not just hearing the word of God. Yeah, certainly those are very good. But wisdom really is hearkening is paying attention and diligently doing the word of God. And when we do that, the Bible says we'll find rest. The Bible says for those Hebrew midwives, the Lord built them households. He built their houses. And the Lord will build your house and my house as we continue to walk in the wisdom of God. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Our other scripture that we have read just about every service since we started is in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. The Bible says, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation, because the fear of the Lord is his treasure." Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. We have established this. God wants you to live a stable life. God wants you to have a restful life. God does not want you living a life of upheavals and turbulence and uncertainties, unpredictabilities. No, God wants to bless you with a consistent, steady life so that you can accomplish the goals of God that are set ahead of you. The Bible says the strength and the shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. So everything that has been prepared for you and for me through our salvation in Christ Jesus is actually made manifest by the wisdom of God. By the wisdom of God. The Lord has planned so many good things for us. But one of the sure ways to enter into those good things is by walking in the wisdom of God. You know, last week in our last lesson, we read extensively from Proverbs chapter 3 and discussed what I call the glory of wisdom, all the blessings of wisdom. If you were not there in that service, and even if you were there, I do encourage you, please go back and meditate those scriptures. The glory of God's wisdom is available to us when we seek the wisdom of God as a priority of our lives. And we left off last week by talking about the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. In Isaiah chapter 11, the Bible says, and from verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And the Bible says they will make him of quick understanding, him or her, that is the child of God, the servant of God, who has the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of God resting upon them. He will make them of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And they shall not judge after the sight of their eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of their ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We learned last week, wisdom is the door opener. In fact, we made this profound statement, wisdom never travels alone. Wisdom never travels alone. The spirit of wisdom leads the way, but it brings a whole convoy of supernatural graces and natural blessings with it. And we saw that. We saw that here in this scripture. We saw it in Proverbs chapter 3. And we saw it in the story of King Solomon that we read from 2 Chronicles chapter 1 from verse 7. Where the Bible says that Solomon asked, the Lord said to him, ask whatsoever you will. And Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom and knowledge. And the Lord said, because you have asked for wisdom, you didn't ask for all these other things. Not that all those other things were bad things, but because Solomon prioritized the wisdom of God, the Bible says, God said to him, I have given you both that spirit of wisdom that you asked for, as well as all the other blessings that you did not ask for. So wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, always leads the way, but it brings with it this convoy of supernatural graces and natural blessings. The natural blessings of riches and honor and peace and joy and a lasting legacy and open heavens, the dew of heavens and the wealth of the earth. All of this are the blessings that come with the wisdom of God. Well, we are going to press on in our studying tonight. Hallelujah. This has been an exciting series. I'm just so thankful. Again, sometimes I'm so excited, so pumped up at the revelation of the Word of God. And just talking about this wisdom, the wisdom of God, in the way that we have been learning it, which has not necessarily been the way that I have personally either preached it or taught it in the past or even learned it. You know, there's just some new graces and some new revelations that are flowing in the way that the Holy Spirit has been ministering to us. But tonight, let's start from the New Testament. Let me say this to you. The Spirit of the Lord is the spirit of wisdom. Let me say that one more time. The Spirit of the Lord is the spirit of wisdom. Now, the wisdom of God does not come to us automatically because we have the Holy Spirit. However, when we prioritize wisdom and we seek to be baptized in the spirit of wisdom, then the Holy Spirit makes the wisdom of God prevalent in our lives. The Holy Spirit causes us to enjoy dimensions of the wisdom of God that the average person does not enjoy. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, is the Spirit of wisdom, and wherever the Holy Spirit is resident, wisdom and peace are two of the most significant proofs of His presence. We've talked a lot about rest, the rest that God has for His children. That rest is peace. That rest is peace. We've talked about the blessings of the wisdom of God. Well, the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of wisdom. And wherever the Holy Spirit is resident, and wherever wisdom, the wisdom of God, is prioritized in any life, one of the two evidences of the active work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is wisdom and peace. I want us to go read from the New Testament. Let's read from James. It's another very popular scripture. Let's read from James chapter 3, and let's start from, you know, I was going to have us start from verse 13, but why not? Let's start from verse 11. Let's start from verse 11. It says, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? He's asking a question. Does a fountain send forth from the same place sweet water and bitter? Can we have sweet water and bitter water flowing out of the same fountain? No, it's not possible. Because every fountain has a source. And whatever that source is what is released into our lives. Can we have the source, the Holy Spirit, in our lives? And can we receive the spirit of wisdom and at the same time walk in foolishness? No, we can't. No, we can't, because the same source is what determines the flow of God into our lives. So when that source is established, when the Holy Spirit is the source of the fountain of our lives, guess what flows into our lives? Is the wisdom of God and the peace of God. It is impossible for any child of God to have the Holy Spirit and to prioritize wisdom in their lives and then to have the fruit of foolishness. It is impossible. Hear me. It is impossible. You cannot have the Holy Spirit fully operational in your life and prioritize the wisdom of God in your life, but be producing fruits of foolishness. It is impossible. Fruits of failure, it is impossible. Fruits of sickness, it is impossible. Fruits of death, it is impossible. When we have the wisdom of God flowing in our lives, the blessing, the graces of life that come with the wisdom of God are the same things that we experience. The Bible says here in verse 12, James chapter 3 and verse 12, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh water. Amen. Then it says in verse 13, who is a wise man or woman endued with knowledge among you? Then let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Who is a wise man amongst you? Who is a wise woman? Well, the Bible says wisdom is justified of her children. You cannot be a grape tree or be an orange tree and be producing bitter juice. Or you cannot be a pineapple a vegetation, and what is produced out of you is a fruit that has no relationship, no bearing to pineapples. Amen. You can't have your source as a grape vegetation and yet what is constantly produced from you is something that has no bearing to the grapes that is actually your root and your source. And so the Bible is telling us here in the book of James, when we have the spirit of wisdom, who is called a wise man? Huh? Let's just break that down for a minute. Because all of last week, we talked about the glory of wisdom. We talked about the spirit of wisdom. Today, we started out talking about the spirit of wisdom. Who do you call a wise man or a wise woman? It is the man or the woman that operates in the spirit of wisdom. When you look at someone and say, that's a wise man, that means that person operates in the spirit of wisdom. When you look at somebody and say, that's a wise woman, that means that person operates in the spirit of wisdom. Now, let me throw this out to you and ask you, can you be appropriately described as a man of wisdom? Can you be appropriately described as a woman of wisdom? This is not just a title. It's not just words. That is from the analogy that we've just read. If you are a man of wisdom or a woman of wisdom, then the fruits that you are producing with the fruit of wisdom. Hallelujah. You cannot be a man of wisdom or a woman of wisdom, but the fruits you produce are always fruits of foolishness. When people look at you, they can't say, that's a truly wise man. When people think about you, they can't say, that is a truly wise woman. In fact, many times, many people who want to sneak in and enjoy this quote-unquote grace and blessing of wisdom, many times when you look at their lives and what they are producing, you will have to say, this person does not have the grace of wisdom. Because a lot of the decisions they make are foolish decisions. You see the things they do, you can't say there is wisdom flowing out of their lives. You hear the way they talk. They are constantly having to take back the things they say. They are constantly having to regret the things they say because they don't talk with wisdom. They are constantly having to apologize. And those who don't apologize know in their minds that they've said the wrong thing, and they do it repeatedly. They do it repeatedly. Well, you can't look at such a person and call them a man or a woman of wisdom. No, you can't. You may not call them a person or a man or woman of foolishness, but certainly you will not call them a man or woman of wisdom. Because the evidence and the fruit of wisdom is not evident in their lives. But the Lord wants to do it in such a way that for you and for me, we can be appropriately related with, appropriately described as men and women of wisdom. Listen to this. Not just people who find wisdom once in a while. Every once in a while, they ask for wisdom, and then, yeah, they get wisdom. But most of the time, they really just do things anyhow. Amen. That's not what the Lord has for us. That's not the best. It's not the, that is not the glory that God has for you and for me. God wants us to be men and women of wisdom. I want you to make a confession of faith with me tonight. Say in the name of Jesus, put your hand upon your heart. Say in the name of Jesus, I am a man of wisdom. Say in the name of Jesus, I am a woman of wisdom. Say it in the name of Jesus, I am connected to the source, the root of wisdom. In the name of Jesus, the graces of wisdom are flowing out of my life. In the name of Jesus, I am producing the fruit of wisdom that is evident for the whole world to see. Amen. Amen. You are a man of wisdom. Going forward, you are a woman of wisdom. Your actions will show it. Your words will show it. Your thoughts will show it. Your habits will show it. In the name of Jesus, you will be aptly and appropriately described as God's people of wisdom, God's man of wisdom, God's woman of wisdom. Well, so then, what do we need to do to keep this going? What do we need to do to change the old narrative where we could not have been appropriately described as a man or woman of wisdom? Well, what we need to do is connect with our root of wisdom, the Holy Spirit, and prioritize with the spirit of wisdom that is made available to, through him. Hallelujah. Let's keep on reading here. Verse 13, James chapter 3. Who is a wise man and or a wise woman and endued with knowledge amongst you? Let him or her show out of a good conversation his or her works with the meekness of wisdom. Notice how he describes it, the meekness of wisdom. So that means wisdom itself has meekness. Not weakness, meekness. integrated into it. When the wisdom of God is in operation, one of the ways we can tell is there's meekness. And one of the ways we can tell is there is peace. And one of the ways we can tell is we see the fruits of the wisdom of God. Amen. In verse 14, it says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. If you have bitter envying. So the Bible is telling us some of the things that are demonstrated when wisdom is present. And it's also telling us some of the things that are demonstrated when wisdom is absent. We can tell meekness and humility are present when wisdom is present, when wisdom is available. We can tell truth from the word of God, peace, rest, we've studied this, and so many other blessings of wisdom are present when the wisdom of God is available. But the Bible is telling us here, anytime there is bitter envying, there cannot be wisdom. Wisdom never produces bitterness or envy. And it says strife. When there is strife in the heart, when there is that, I've used this analogy before. People say I was heated, my blood was boiling. Well, if you are that kind of person whose blood boils a lot, you definitely cannot be a person of wisdom. You can't be a man or woman of wisdom. Because when you are a man or woman of wisdom, there's stability in your life. There's stability in your life. Yeah, some things may go up and some things may, happen, exciting things and all of that. But you are stable, excited. Some things may happen where you are tried and you are going through difficulty and affliction or whatever, but you are stable, tried. You are just steady in your life. You are just steady. Amen. And steadiness, we have already learned this, is produced by wisdom. Strife is not produced by wisdom. Envy is not produced by wisdom. A boiling blood, anger, amen, bitterness, amen, all this untoward behavior is not produced by wisdom. Wanting to tear things down, it's not wisdom. It's not wisdom. I've heard people over the years, I've pastored many years. Thank you, Jesus. I've pastored for so many years. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. And in my so many years of pastoring, I've heard groups of people who say things like, we just want to build. We just want to build. And you can see they just want to build. They just want to build. They just want to move forward. They just want to grow. They just want to establish. They just want to achieve and make progress. And then I've seen over the years, groups of people who say things like, we're just going to tear it down. We're just going to tear it down. And you can tell they don't have wisdom. Because wisdom always builds. Even in the midst of trauma, even in the midst of difficulty, wisdom is always looking to build. Wisdom is looking to bring together. Wisdom is looking to reconcile. Wisdom is looking to advance. Wisdom is looking to bring peace. Hallelujah. You remember that story? Let me throw that in here. As we go along, I'm doing my best right here to not get too carried away. We have to be conscious of time. We have a lot of ground to cover. But you remember the story of those two women who came to Solomon. And there was a child. And there was a living child. And one of these two women came and said to the king and dragged the other one with her. And said, yeah, my child was sleeping. In the night, all of us were sleeping, and this woman rolled over, and killed her own child. And this is my child who survived. But King, she wants to take my child away. Her child is dead, but she wants to take my own child away. And the king addressed the other woman and said, what's your story? She said exactly the same thing. Both of them said exactly the same thing. The king said, okay, there's a way to know. There's a way to know who is the person of wisdom, who is the person of truth. And the king said, without revealing his strategy to them, the king said, okay, I tell you what, there's only one child left. Both of you claim that this one child that is left is yours. Then I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. Let's just make this very simple. Let's just kill this one child. So that way, there's no other child. There's no child left, right? Both children are now dead. So you both can go away in peace and be happy, right? And the king was listening and he was watching them. And one of the two women said, yes, let's kill him already. Let's kill him quick. Bing! Get all your killers. Bring multiple swords. Let's kill him. Let's kill him. The other woman said, no, let's not kill him. Let's not kill him. Let's preserve his life. Let's allow him to live, right? If the only way this child will live, O king, is that you have to give this child to my neighbor, so be it. So be it. Let her take him, but let this child live. Let her take him, but let this child live. Hallelujah. The king looked at the two women and looked at the ways, the approach and the things they said. And the king said, the one who wanted the child to live is the person of wisdom and is the person of truth. You know, wisdom and truth always work hand in hand. Wisdom and truth always work hand in hand. Sometimes you may not know what the truth is, but always just look at where is the agitation. Where is the agitation? It's very simple. Where is the agitation? Where is the one that say, let's just tear it down. Let's just destroy it. Let's just break it. Yes, yes. You know, let's break it. Let's so we can all be happy. We will break it. Let's get to the root of it and just destroy it. So there will be nothing left. And those people are not people of wisdom and they are not people of truth. Hallelujah. And the Lord is calling you and me tonight to receive the spirit of wisdom into our lives. When the spirit of wisdom is fully operational in our lives, we seek to build. We seek to preserve. We don't want to tear down. When you look in a marriage and one person keeps saying, let's just tear it down. Let's just tear. We're done. Let's just tear it apart. We're broken. Blah, blah, blah. Well, you can tell that person is not a person of wisdom. Or you are looking at some business and some ministry, some relationship, and one person is aggravated and agitated, and let's just destroy. And the other one says, no, let's not destroy. Even if I can't have what I want, let's not destroy. Let it live. Let it live. Well, you can tell one of them is a person of wisdom and truth. And the other one is a person of they don't have wisdom, and they certainly don't have the graces of God in their lives. Well, the Lord is calling you and me to be people of wisdom, a man of wisdom, a woman of wisdom. That's the way the Lord wants us described. And what will be the evidence of it? He wants to build. We've been saying this for several weeks, saints. I believe it's one of the most important, one of the most powerful revelations that have come out of this series of teachings. The fact that the Lord wants to build in our lives with the wisdom of God. The fact that the Lord wants to accomplish certain things in our lives. He wants to build our houses. He wants to build our destiny. He wants to build our families, our marriages. He wants to build our children's lives. He wants to build our ministries, our churches. He wants to build our businesses and all these other important things in our lives. The Lord wants to build. And how is he going to do it? By wisdom. But he's limited. He's limited by how much wisdom we make available to him. So let's make a commitment tonight, like we've made previously. I'm going to allow the Lord to build through me. I'm going to be a man of wisdom. I'm going to be a woman of wisdom. I'm going to allow the spirit of wisdom to rest upon my life. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's keep on reading here in James chapter 3. It says here, but if you have bitter envy, verse 14, if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not. Don't glory. Don't be making noise. don't be pumping your chest and talking about God is on your side and you have God's approval, God's backing, and you are the one who is doing the right thing. No. If you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, he says, don't lie against the truth. Don't lie. You are lying against the truth. Don't do that. But he said, because this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So now we can see that in addition to learning about the spirit of wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit, we are also now being told, we are being introduced for the first time in our series of lessons, in our series of studies, we are also seeing tonight that there is also another kind of wisdom. Right? It's also another kind of wisdom. It is not the wisdom the Holy Spirit gives, right? It is not the wisdom that comes from the spirit of wisdom, but it is another kind of wisdom. And the Bible describes it as earthly wisdom. The Bible describes it as sensual. It is of the flesh. It is of the emotion. It is of the mind. It is psychological. And it is devilish. There is devilish wisdom. So there can be earthly, which is worldly wisdom. Then there can be sensual wisdom, which is all of the flesh, emotion, psychology, and all of that stuff, mind and everything. And then there can be devilish wisdom. And I want us to pay attention tonight as the Holy Spirit begins to open our eyes to this, that a lot of times, notice, people actually say, oh, you know, we've got to walk in wisdom. Many times people actually use that expression like, oh, you know, we have to prioritize wisdom. We have to walk in wisdom. We have to do what is wisdom. But the Bible is telling us not every wisdom is wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Not every wisdom is wisdom from God. Right? Because we want to have the spirit of wisdom. We want to operate in the spirit of wisdom. And many times, what people are actually describing as wisdom is just earthly, worldly wisdom. It's just sensual wisdom, or just devilish or demonic, using the wisdom of demonic spirits. And the Bible tells us there also, you can tell where the difference is. And it tells us, you know how you can tell? So far in our studies tonight, in these lessons tonight, we have identified a number of things that are produced by the wisdom of God. This is very important because if we want to continue to grow in the wisdom of God, remember, what are we learning? We're learning about the divine reality of uncommon wisdom. We don't just want wisdom from the world. We don't want wisdom from our senses, sensual wisdom, mind, psychological, you know, emotional wisdom, emotion-based wisdom. No, we want the wisdom that comes from God. We don't want demonic wisdom, right? We don't want to operate in devilish wisdom and be deceived, thinking we have the wisdom of God. So the Bible helps us see the differences. He helps us many times when people say, you know, yeah, I'm just walking in wisdom here. The Bible says, don't lie against the truth now. Don't lie against the truth, because if what you call walking in wisdom has bitterness, if it has lying, if it has envy, if it has anger, if it has self-promotion, self-preservation, that is not the wisdom of God. If it has confusion and strife, right? That is not the wisdom of God. And if we keep growing in that, but we keep describing that as the wisdom of God, the Bible says we are self-deceived. We are lying against the truth. And what is it that happens to people who are self-deceived? They suddenly crash. We don't want to crash. We want to make sure we're not blind. Amen. We want to make sure we're walking in the wisdom of God. It's the spirit of wisdom that is operational. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I've seen, and I'm sure all of us have, where real strife and contention takes place. And you may see maybe people have been involved. Sometimes it could even be maybe couples, it could even be people, other people, ministers or pastors, some or Christians that have been involved in the same maybe project, building, same project and same initiatives, career, whatever it is. And suddenly they are no longer happy. And we use the example of Solomon and the two women. And they suddenly get up and they just want to tear it all apart. They just want to break it all up. Let's just break it. And they don't even care how it breaks. Just break it and smash it all in pieces so there is nothing left of it. And sometimes those people say, they actually claim, we have to engage wisdom. We have to engage wisdom. Well, yeah, you may be engaging wisdom, but that is not the wisdom of God. That is not the wisdom of God. Somebody going to war to try to have their way and self-preservation, that is not the wisdom of God. They may call it wisdom. They may describe it as wisdom, but that is not the wisdom of God. Somebody going to court, trying to self-preserve, trying to get something from someone, and they think the only way they'll get it is that a judge gives it to them. And they say, we have to engage wisdom. We have to be wise. That is not the wisdom of God. God wants you to walk in the wisdom of God. The Lord has us in this place tonight where we're talking about the nuts and the bolts of the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Some of the practical ways of chokmah, the wisdom of God. Some of the ways in which the wisdom of God is demonstrated, is exhibited. So we are not deceived. So we're not falling into traps of the enemy. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, it tells us how you can see and what you can tell about the wisdom that is from heaven, the wisdom that is from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom. He tells us right here in verse 17, he says, but the wisdom that is from above is first of all pure. It's peaceable. So the wisdom from above is pure. That is wholesome. It's not corrupted. It doesn't have hidden things in it. Compromises. No, it's pure. And it says the wisdom that is from above is peaceable. Peace always accompanies godly wisdom. Peace. Peace. When there's conflict, godly wisdom says, let's have peace. Let's make it right. Let's create peace. Not the appearance of peace, but real peace. It's peaceable. He says the wisdom from above is gentle. It's gentle. The wisdom from above isn't haughty, isn't full of self, and isn't dominating, trying to harass and trying to take over. It's gentle. We've already read that. It comes with meekness. Remember when he said, if there's any man or woman of wisdom amongst you, let them demonstrate this by carrying out their wisdom in the spirit of meekness. Amen. The wisdom from above is gentle. Wisdom from above says, no, I'm not going to agree. No, I'm not going to take it. No, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. No, I'm not going to let it go. That is not the wisdom from above. You may even have been wronged. You may be suffering something that somebody deliberately did against you. Doesn't mean you continue to suffer that wrong, but it certainly means you allow the wisdom of God to work in such a way that God vindicates you. He's the almighty vindicator. And it's not by insisting on our own way, demanding, what we want for ourselves? No. He says it's peaceable. It's gentle. Watch this. It's easy to be entreated. It's easy. Where the wisdom of God is available, the people are agreeable. Yeah, that's a good word. People are agreeable. It's easy to be entreated. That is, you can appeal to them and they will accept your appeal. You can plead with them and they will accept your plea. Amen. The wisdom from above is easy to be entreated. Easy to be entreated. That devilish, demonic wisdom, doesn't matter how you try to entreat, it's never going to agree. It's out to destroy, it's out to destroy, and until it destroys, it's not going to stop. That's devilish, demonic wisdom. Hallelujah. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy. Full of mercy. The wisdom from above is full of mercy. The wisdom from above, it says, you know what? I have received the mercy of God. I'm going to give you the mercy of God. It's compassionate. It's compassionate. The wisdom from above, the spirit of wisdom, when it is in operation, it gives grace. It makes room for people's faults and people's falling and failings. It makes room. It's full of mercy. It's full of mercy. The wisdom from God. Hallelujah. He says he has good fruits. We talked about that already. He produces good fruit. You can tell. Where the wisdom of God is operational, he produces good. What are we? The Lord has us learning tonight the nuts and bolts of godly wisdom. How it operates practically. Where the wisdom of God is available, you can tell he produces good fruits. You can't tell me you are a man of wisdom, you are a woman of wisdom, but you are constantly producing corrupted fruit. You are constantly producing things that don't last. You are constantly producing things that don't stand the test of time. You can't tell me you are a man of wisdom, you are a woman of wisdom, and the things you produce are always creating conflict everywhere, creating confusion. When you show up in a place, confusion shows up. You can't say you are a man of wisdom, a woman of wisdom, when your fruits don't show the wisdom of God in operation. Good fruits without partiality. It's not one-sided. No partiality. No preferential treatment. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Sometimes people say, we're working in, parents will say, oh, well, you know, we just have to be wise. We're working, but they are operating in preferential treatment. They are esteeming one child above the other for certain selfish reasons. Say, well, let's work in the way we're just being wise. You're not being wise, you're being foolish. Because that thing is going to come around and come and bite you. If you don't believe me, all you need to do is just flip back to the book. I can go there for you tonight. You go check it out. Go read in the book of Genesis. And you see what happened to Jacob, Isaac, and his wife, Rebecca. They picked the one they will have preferential treatment. The one of them preferred one because that one was a talker. Nice, spent time with her. They would talk. They would hang out. And, you know, she just loved her younger son. The older, the father does love the older son because he's the one who go out and kill food and bring it home and finally became a death trap. Look at what happened to that family. That family became a totally dysfunctional family because while the parents thought they were walking in wisdom, they were actually being foolish. Don't show preferential treatment. No, there's no partiality in godly wisdom. You love everyone the same. Yes, obviously, certainly, sometimes, you know, you can see, and you know, the Lord does that. You know, when you honor the Lord honors you. When you respect the Lord, when you show God your fervency, your zealousness for Him, the Lord honors you. When you esteem the things of God, the Lord blesses you. Amen. And the other people may not be as honored as you are because they are not honoring God. Yeah, we understand that. But we're not talking about choosing one, picking one over the other because of something selfish. We're not talking about picking one over the other and then hiding things behind. You can't tell everyone the same thing. Right? What you tell this one, you can't tell the other one. What you tell that one, you can't tell this. And you're playing all these games in your family, but you pray, God bless my family. God bless. No, you can't bless that. Somebody's hearing this tonight. I don't know who that is for, because that was certainly not in my notes. Hallelujah. My time is going here. But we're getting it. We're getting it. Hallelujah. The nuts and bolts of practical wisdom. Chokmah. The nuts and bolts of divine wisdom, godly wisdom, and the way it shows up, and the appearance of it. It says there's no partiality, and there's no hypocrisy. It doesn't put something up front that is different from what is at the back. It doesn't say one thing with his mouth, but there's something different, opposite in his mind. No, there's no hypocrisy. Sometimes people say, well, you have to be wise. So they say something different with their mouth, but in their mind, they really believe the opposite of what they said. Well, you know, we have to walk in wisdom. That is not the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God will just keep quiet, right? Amen. The wisdom of God will just not say anything. If you don't want to lie about it, you don't want to have to say something, you don't want to put out hypocrisy, you don't want to say something you don't believe in, then you just keep quiet. That is the wisdom of God. You just mute. Hallelujah. And the people may even ask you, what do you think about this? What was your opinion? I have no opinion. I'm not sure I have anything to say about it. That's it. Amen. There's no hypocrisy. There's no partiality. And then he says in verse 18, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness. So righteousness accompanies the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Well, we have the spirit of wisdom tonight. Hallelujah. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of wisdom is operational in our lives. The spirit of wisdom is growing. We are growing in that spirit. We're not just visiting with it once in a while. We're not just approaching it every now and then. No, we don't just open the door to it, everyone. No, we are growing in the spirit of wisdom. We are growing in the spirit of wisdom. This is the divine reality of uncommon wisdom. That's what will give us the upper hand in all the issues and affairs of life. That's what will bring us through. It will bring us through turbulence and see to it that that turbulence doesn't go through us. Hallelujah. That's what will surround us. We'll put a crown of glory on our heads, put an ornament of grace around our necks. That is the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. And supernaturally, we will just be advancing. Supernaturally, we will just be making strides, and the blessings of God will be prominent, will be evident in our lives. And people may not understand it, and people may not see it, they may not get it. How come they are so blessed? It's because you are walking in the wisdom of God. Because you have the spirit of wisdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to this one. I've given you quite a number of descriptions of the wisdom of God. Let's close out with this one that I have here out of James. James chapter 13, chapter 3 from verse 13 to 18. Listen to this. Wisdom is the knowledge of God, or the knowledge of God's will made available to us, so that we can live the best life possible on the earth. Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it. Wisdom, I'm going to say it one more time. Wisdom is the knowledge of God, or the knowledge of God's will made available to us, so that we can live the best life possible. The best life possible on earth. Oh, hallelujah. May you have the best life possible. May you have the best life possible. The covenant grants you access to the best life possible. Some people have said, no, you know, I don't care. I just want a good, nice, average life. No, God has better than that for you. The Bible says when Jesus went to the wedding in Cana, he took the best wine. He took the best wine, not just good, ordinary, average wine. No, he took the best wine. When God's covenant is working in your life, when you are operating in the wisdom of God, you have the best wine. You have the best wine. You have the best life possible. Everything you do, you will experience the best of God. Everything you do, you will experience the best of God. That's God's will for you, my brothers and my sisters. That's God's will for us. God wants us to have the best life. Listen to that one more time before we close tonight. Wisdom is the knowledge of God, or the knowledge of God's will made available to us so that we can live the best life possible on earth. All these things we have described, you need to make some decisions. You have to act in some way or the other. You have to address situations. And we've learned tonight from James chapter 3 how the wisdom of God operates and how the wisdom of the world operates. We've seen some of the accompaniments of the wisdom of God. We've seen some of the evidences of the wisdom of God. Well, walking in the wisdom of God is the knowledge, is walking in the knowledge of God's will. Because you are doing what God wants you to do in the moment. Someone has described wisdom as knowing what to do when you don't know what to do. Well, yeah, that's a good definition too. But you know what? Knowing what to do when you don't know what to do is knowing God's will in the moment. And when you know the will of God in the moment, and when you know God, and you know His will in the moment, and you do it, then you will have the best life possible. You will have the best life possible. Your life will prosper. The things you do will stand. They will last. They will be the fruit you produce will be glory. Glory fruit. You will enjoy the best wine in your life. Everything you do, you prosper. You prosper. That is your portion. Somebody say, I receive it. Say, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you for your mighty presence amongst us. Thank you, God, for instructing us. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of life. Thank you for feeding us with wisdom like honey tonight. We've soaked it all in. We've just drank it and eaten it, and we've been blessed by it now. Now then, God, cause the fruits of it to be manifest in our lives. Bless your people. Bless your people. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.